The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Another busy day at Halas Hall as the Bears add a new receiver to the mix. Hi, everyone. It's another edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zedman. Jim Miller is out tonight trying to get his voice back, and the silent count, Tom, never works well on radio.
No, I've never heard Jim with the losing his voice. I can't even imagine a guy like that who does so much talking every day, he can really come down with a little bronchitis or laryngitis.
He does tell me that if the Bears were playing in the Super Bowl and they needed him under center, that he'd find a way to make it work with a little bit of tea and a little bit of lemon. But
It'd just be shotgun with a lot of leg movement and tell you when the snap's going to come and go about your business.
There'll be plenty of quarterback conversation to come here this hour on Bears All Access. And you can join us, by the way, at 312-644-6767. But let's get to the news of the day out of Halas Hall, and that is the fact that the Bears have agreed to a one-year deal with former New York Giant wide receiver Victor Cruz, who has had a history of injuries over the last few seasons, but did manage to play 15 games last year for the Giants. And he joins a Bears receiving core that features Cameron Meredith, who's coming off that breakout year last season, Tom, and a bunch of newcomers, Marcus Wheaton, Kendall Wright, Reuben Randall. And we still don't know how Kevin White is going to fit into the mix. But let's start specifically with Victor Cruz. At this stage of his career, what does he bring to the Bears?
You know, experience in production. You know, that's the one thing about Victor Cruz. It's never been about his inability to make the big play on a big stage with the Giants. He was able to do that coming into the league as a free agent, earning his stripes with the Giants, going to Super Bowls, and becoming a fan favorite. And then you got these injuries that settle in. So, you know, Victor Cruz is not like taking a chance on a first-round draft choice who didn't pan out because other things derailed him, his work ethic or things like that. Victor Cruz is a productive player who has had some lower body injuries that have taken him out of action. And the thing about if he was able to be an asset to the New York Giants, they probably wouldn't have got rid of him, and Eli Manning would have been a lot more productive with the receivers they have up there.
All right, so now when you throw in Cruz to a lineup that includes Marcus Wheaton, Kendall Wright, you know what Cameron Meredith was able to do last season, Reuben Randall, a former teammate of Cruz with the Giants, and Kevin White, who's trying to work his way back from that leg injury last season. Can you kind of tell what the Bears' passing game is going to look like?
I don't know. Where is Victor Cruz going to play? Is he going to be a slot receiver? You know, because now you start thinking about the lineup. You know, Cameron Meredith is going to be one of the wideouts. Kevin White will be given the opportunity to be the other. And then, you know, is Victor Cruz going to come in here and fit where Eddie Royal has vacated the position? Or is Daniel Braverman going to be able to come in here and be competitive? So I think it's really where is the line? You know, how are they going to line up? You know, when we see the first team, second team, third team, so on and so forth, go throughout OTAs and training camps, that's where you're going to be able to see, you know, how you fit in or where you fit into this system.
There are a whole bunch of players who were not able to participate, at least during the open session to the media of OTAs this week. When guys are coming back from injury, and there are a whole bunch of them, and other guys are limited, how does that affect the development, especially from an offensive standpoint, in regards to this team, even this early in the process?
You know, if he's a major player, if he's a major weapon, if that person is going to be a major go-to guy in this system, is it Zach Miller? Is it a wide receiver that you want to see on the field more? You know, where is that emphasis going to come from? And if that player is not on the field until training camp, yeah, it can be a hindrance to the timing of the quarterback. But right now, as you develop a system and you're at these early stages of OTAs, you want to make sure everybody understands the language so they can go out and play to the level that's expected out of them. So, you know, to me right now, it's just making sure everybody understands the system properly, because there are a lot of new moving parts in the receiver game. You're talking about from rookies at the tight end position to acquired veterans during the off season. And, you know, Zach, I don't think that you can really see an offense work properly until everybody understands the terminology and what it means to them specifically.
It starts with the quarterback, and Mike Glennon spoke to the media this week for the first time since the drafting of Mitchell Trubisky. What do you think about what he had to say? I think he took ownership of the position. He said that this is his year. 2017 is about Mike Glennon. On the field, what does that mean?
Oh, I'm happy to hear it. I'm happy to hear a confident quarterback go to the podium and address the Chicago media in a way, in a mannerism they want to see the quarterback for the Chicago Bears speak. And I do think, you know, he has to take command of this position. You're going to go in there, and every single guy out there, from defensive tackle to linebacker to strong safety to offensive guard to tight end, there's competition behind you. And every one of these guys should be breathing down your neck, because that's the competitiveness that you want to create. And that does come with the quarterback position. But in Mike Glennon, he should have been, you know, seen as a starter when he was signed here. He's going to take the first reps with the first team the first day of training camp, and then it's his job from then on out. And every single person is going to be evaluated on their performance. If Mike Glennon goes out there and plays well, he's going to be the quarterback for a long time here. But just like any other position, it's everyday evaluated performance base.
He said that one of the big things he's working on, in addition to the on-the-field stuff and learning the playbook and being able to spit things out the way you want a quarterback to do that and having the chemistry with guys on the field, is building chemistry off the field. Now, as a player who wasn't a quarterback, how important is that? Because I'll give you an example. Mike Glennon talked about how, you know, he's been with the offensive linemen grilling as they do every Thursday up at Hallis Hall. He's been to a Jason Aldean concert with the guys and, you know, out to eat at different restaurants around town. Is it important to establish that type of chemistry off the field, or am I making too much of it?
No, I think it's huge, but I also think it's got to be the weight room. I think when you have the camaraderie that's developed in the weight room, the encouragement of all the teammates, whether they're at your position or the different side of the ball or whatever, encouraging them to get stronger so they can be better football players. And, you know, that was a huge part of our success, is because you have that camaraderie in the weight room that is just so ever encouraging. And it's every position, and it's not a football competitive, in the competitive sense of football, it's not outside, but the weight room is really important.
We'll dig deeper into the Bears quarterback situation next. This is Bears All Access. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zabin. You can join us at 312-644-6767 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Finish at Soldier Field when you participate in the PNC Chicago Bears 5K Saturday, June 24th. Get more information and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. So Tom Thayer is here, the 85 Bear. I'm Zach Zabin. Happy to have you with us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. And joining us now on the program, he's becoming a regular guest. It's Bears starting quarterback Mike Glennon. And before we say hello and all that kind of stuff, Mike, here's a simple question. Have you ever done the salsa at any point in your entire professional football life?
I don't know. I'm not a very good dancer. I don't think I've ever been able to pull off the salsa, but maybe Victor can teach us all the moves.
Yeah, and the reason I bring it up is the guy that Mike's talking about, the Bears agreeing to a one-year deal with former New York Giant receiver Victor Cruz, and the salsa was legal even before they kind of relaxed the rules on celebrating after touchdowns. What do you know about him, and what can he bring to this offense that hasn't been there, at least through this early portion of the offseason?
Yeah, I had a chance to talk with Victor, a week and a half ago or whenever he was on his visit. And I think he can bring a lot to the team. He brings experience. Two, he brings kind of veteran leadership that is a relatively young room that I think will help a lot of the young guys. And then three, he just brings playmaking ability. You know, he's done a lot of good things in his career. He's caught a lot of touchdowns, has a lot of catches and receiving yards, and I'm really excited to have him.
You know, Mike, you think of all the new personnel on the offensive side of the football, and I think just in the quarterback room last year, Dal Loggins did an unbelievable job getting five quarterbacks ready during the course of the season. But how is that development of that relationship between you and Dal? Because when he got the job last year, he came out at OTAs and training camp as one of the more vocal coaches out there. Is that, do you see that using that tactic with you, or are you okay with you know, the coaching style of Dal?
Yeah, it's been great so far. You know, young coach, but he's got a great offensive mind, and he's done a great job teaching offense along with our quarterback coach and Dave Ragone. And you know, I feel pretty comfortable. I mean, I know it's early on in OTAs, but so far I feel, you know, like I've been on top of things, and it's been a smooth transition so far. But Dal does a really good job working with the quarterbacks and getting us prepared, and he's been on top of us, you know, as really all of us have been learning together.
Visiting with Bears starting quarterback Mike Glennon here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Can you verbalize the vision of what this offense will eventually look like when it's working the way it's supposed to?
I think, you know, first thing, it starts with the guys up front. And, you know, we pride ourselves on the run game. And that's what, you know, last year had great success running the ball with Jordan and really all the running backs. So I think it all starts with those guys up front, and we're going to run the ball well. We're going to protect the quarterback. And then, you know, we have kind of interesting personnel now that we have a lot of tight ends. You know, we have the new rookie running back who brings a new dimension. So I think we'll kind of, you know, mold our passing game around those players and, you know, whatever the best 11 guys on the field we can get, that's what we're going to use.
Mike, what do you think is the tempo of the learning for this offense? Because there are so many new players that have come to the Bears this season, offensively speaking. So when they're learning the terminology as you are, can you sense in their eyes that they 100% have it? Or are we going to look at, okay, this is stage one of learning it, stage two, and then stage three? How do you think that tempo will go?
I wouldn't say it's 100%, but I feel like guys have done a really good job, you know, studying on their own. And, you know, there really hasn't been a whole lot of mistakes out there. And I don't know, it just feels good. It seems like everyone's been on top of their things. And I know a lot of guys are learning new things, but from my eyes, it doesn't seem that way. So it's been really good. I mean, guys have been working really hard, spending extra time, making sure they're prepared for practices.
Talking Bears with quarterback Mike Glennon here on Bears All Access. Every time that we've been exposed to you at either a podium or on this show, for example, when we hear you talk football, there's a sense of confidence that comes across when you talk about your ability. Where does that come from? And what do you believe are your strengths? When you're playing in a game, where are your strengths, and what gives you the belief that you can take that to the next level?
Yeah, I think, honestly, it probably starts with, well, one, my ability to throw the football, and then two, just the way I can process things. I feel like I'm intelligent when it comes to football, and I think a lot of that goes into my preparation, you know, in the offseason, during the week. And you asked about learning the offense, and I mean, I don't have it down by any means, but I have experience of learning new offenses, so I feel like I've gotten, you know, pretty good at that. And, you know, I just think my mental side, I bring a lot to the table. And then as well as just being able to throw the ball, you know, I'm not going to be making a ton of plays with my feet. You know, I can get out of something if need be, but my job is to get the ball in the playmaker's hands, and I feel like I'm good at that.
Hey, Mike, when you see the terminology of this offense, do you have any familiarities with any other offenses that you've been through? Is this kind of unique in the Chicago style?
It's definitely unique in its own way, but there's carryover. You know, like some of the formations we call the same as what we did in Tampa. Some of the protections are similar to what I did my rookie year in Tampa. So, you know, you just find things here and there that you can relate to, or you you know, you kind of say, oh, this is, we call this in Tampa, what we call it in Tampa, and this is what we call it in Chicago, and you kind of make those connections. And, you know, there's definitely a learning curve, but I feel like, you know, myself along with all the other guys have done a good job with it.
Mike, what's the biggest thing that you learned in Tampa that will help make you a successful quarterback here in Chicago?
I think just the mental side of football. I mean, I was really fortunate to have a very good offensive mind in Dirk Cutter the past 2 years, and I feel like I learned a lot about him. And, you know, I've said it before, and it doesn't completely make sense, but I really do feel like I'm a better player now than I was even 2 years ago, and I haven't played, just because I've learned so much and about protections, about run game, about defenses, about passing concepts. It's just, you know, the game makes a lot more sense to me. And when the game, when you understand it better, it then slows down. So you can make decisions faster and really just have the answers before they even ask the question. So I think that's what I really benefited. And I was fortunate to have good coaches while I was in Tampa.
You know, Mike, has coming to Halas Hall, has that become familiar to you yet? When you walk in there and you know the head trainer now, you know the head weight coach, you know the cafeteria people and stuff and how all Halas Hall works around there. Is that become a routine, or is it kind of something like every day you walk in there, you go, okay, I got to go this way to get here and so on and so forth?
I think I know my way now. I mean, you know, I don't, for the first, you know, couple of weeks, I felt like I was having to pull up Google Maps all the time to figure out where I was going. But I feel like I'm learning my way around Chicago pretty good now. I know where the grocery store is, know where all those little things are. But it's been great so far, you know, getting up here, getting to know people around the building and just, you know, being part of, you know, the big city. And it's just been great. I mean, I've had a great time already, and, you know, looking forward to spending a lot more time here.
Mike Lennon is our guest here on Bears All Access. And, Tom, these are his words, not mine, but Mike was talking about how when he's out and about in public, he's 6'7", he's balding, there's red hair, he's pale. So he kind of sticks out. What are the questions that you get when Bears fans recognize you wherever you are?
I don't know. I mean, people ask all sorts of things. It's mainly just like good luck, excited to have you here type of deal. I've gotten a lot of whatever you do, just beat the Packers. So I quickly learned how important that is. As far as the questions, I mean, a lot of times it's usually, oh, wow, you're a lot taller than I thought you'd be. You know, things like that. But everyone's been great so far. You know, they always, you hear about how friendly Midwestern people are. And I feel like it's definitely lived up to that.
Hey, Mike, when you looked at the schedule and you saw Tampa week two, noon start down there, did it kind of just, kind of, for the first time in your mind, put, you know, kind of check mark maybe next to a game early because of the opportunity of growing up in Tampa in your NFL career and then now coming to Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a lot of fun to get back down there. It's the home opener for them. You know, I know it's going to be hot as can be. Probably a chance of some thunderstorms in the third or fourth quarter when those afternoon storms roll in just about every single time you play a September game there in Tampa. But, you know, it'll be great to see all the familiar faces again. And, you know, I'm really excited about it. Like you said, I mean, I've grown up there in the NFL, and I met a lot of good people there and had a lot of good memories. So it'll be fun to, you know, get back to Raymond James Stadium and play my old teammates.
Our guest is Bears quarterback Mike Lennon here on Bears All Access. The catchphrase that you used earlier in the week was 2017 is my year. So for it to manifest itself on the field, what do you have to do?
Win games. I mean, I think that's the bottom line as a quarterback. It's our job to put our team in the best position to win games, and you know that starts with the quarterback. So and that's ultimately how quarterbacks are judged in this league is wins and losses. And, you know, I know that. I know what, you know, is expected of an NFL quarterback. And, you know, that's what we're working towards right now is to get ready for that opener when Atlanta comes to town.
You know, Mike, last question for me. When you face the Bears' defense in practices, even though it's been a couple practices, do you have an opportunity to kind of increase what you can learn because maybe facing now a different defense in practice every day than what you may have been used to down in Tampa? And how does that elevate the quarterback's experience to face a different defense like that?
No, it is great because we're on a little bit different defense than most teams in the NFL, and that is a 3-4 defense. So, in Tampa, when Lovie Smith was there, we were almost always Tampa 2. So I feel like when you face it every day, you become, I don't know if I want to say master of it, but you get extremely comfortable against it. And, now I get to go against a 3-4 team every day for the first time in my career. So it's kind of nice to play against these different styles of defenses because then you learn, the strengths and weaknesses of them, and it can only help when you're, playing other opponents in a real game atmosphere.
Okay, our final few moments here with Bears quarterback Mike Lennon. You were peppered with questions about the dynamic in the quarterback room and all that kind of stuff, and you said something that I found fascinating, that Mark Sanchez is the joker in that room. So he's a funny guy, apparently, with a lot of personality that we haven't been exposed to yet in Chicago. Give us an example.
He's just... is a really funny guy. He's quick-witted. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to think of one little thing. I mean, he's full of jokes and quick remarks that, it's fun in the quarterback room. He brings a lot. As far as a quick story, I don't know. I mean, you guys will just have to spend more time with him, and I'm sure it'll come out quickly because he's not shy, and his personality definitely comes out very charismatic. And like I said the other day, I mean, it's been great having him in the room, not only for that reason, but also, I mean, he's a good player. He's done a lot of good things in the NFL and, top 10 pick for a reason. So, he was somewhere around there. But, I'm excited to have Mark. Also Connor Shaw's been great. And then with the new addition of Mitch as well, I feel like we definitely have a strong quarterback room.
Tom and I were talking about building chemistry off the field because it will no doubt lead to chemistry on the field. And there's so many new players that have been added to the mix, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And, you talked about going to the Jason Aldean concert. Was today the day that you guys grill up at Halas Hall with the offensive line?
Yeah, typically it's Thursdays, but because we have, an OTA practice type of day and a lot of people heading out of town for Memorial Day weekend, we didn't have it today, but I'm sure they'll be firing up those grills again next week.
Now, have they made you pay for the meat, the chicken, all the stuff that they're putting on the smoker?
Well, so the real story is the first week the line did it themselves, and the quarterbacks and some other players were a little jealous that we didn't get to partake in it. So I went out and bought another one of the smokers. That way we had enough for the whole offense. So, I more served as the funds guy, but those linemen are the ones that are in charge of, picking out the meat and growing it all on those Thursday mornings.
Tom, if he keeps doing that, right? I mean, the chemistry is going to be there on game day, isn't it?
He knows the fastest way to every offensive lineman.
I know. I mean, you got to keep the linemen happy.
Mike, great stuff. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Lennon, the Bears quarterback, spending some time with us. A lot to react to from what we heard. We'll break it down next. Tom Thayer is here. We'll take your phone calls, get your take on what you heard at 312-644-6767. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique story reviews exclusively for Bears fans. And this week on Inside the Bears, new safety Quinton Demps talks about his role as a leader on the Bears defense. And former Bear Charles Tillman takes some time to visit one of Chicago's most active police districts. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com or in the Chicago Bears official app at any time. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is along. I'm Zach Zabin. You can join us at 312-644-6767. We just finished a long interview with Bears starting quarterback Mike Glennon, and I think there's a lot to react to there, Tom. What stood out for you?
Well, I think coming back from going back to his press conference when he confidently took the podium and said, hey, this is my football team, and he says it with conviction, and I think that's a big word coming out of the draft this year when Ryan Pace said you have to make picks with conviction. And I think that's the way that he felt, Mike Glennon felt, walking up to the microphone, that, all right, I just came off the practice field. Now I'm starting to put into action what I've learned off of my tablet and in the meeting rooms and stuff. I'm trying to implement the plan that Dow Loggins has laid out and getting to know the weapons, the receivers, Jordan Howard, and all the running backs better. And then you kind of get an understanding saying, okay, I can do this. I feel really confident about, you know, every, like we were talking about earlier, the terminology and just the weaponry they have. And, you know, if Mike Glennon can walk off the practice field every day confident that the job is his, I think that's good for the Bears fans. We got to give him a chance. You know, that's the thing about it with Mike Glennon. He's come in here with an attitude of being the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears. And I don't want a shy guy up at the microphone. I want a guy up there telling, you know, the media and telling the Chicago fans that I am the quarterback of the Bears. And let the competition begin.
Yeah, you want a guy who owns the room. You know, he said the meetings are geared toward him. And eventually, like you always say, the competition that you have in that room, because Connor Shaw, before he broke his leg last year, was putting some heat on the backup quarterback at the time in Brian Hoyer. You know what Mark Sanchez has done in this league as a guy who's had experience playing in big games, two AFC championship games. And then Mitchell Trubisky's coming in here. Like Mike Glennon, you know, obviously in college, he had to sit for a long time. And you know that fueled a desire in him. So even though he knows that at least at this stage, Mike Glennon is the quarterback, it's not like he's just going to sit and not work and not try to apply pressure. So the thing that stood out to me, though, is when you think, Tom, of some of the best quarterbacks in football, you know, Brett Favre sat early on in his career before he got an opportunity, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. And then I hear Mike Glennon say that, you know, it doesn't make sense when you say it, but he really believes that having been forced to sit for the last couple of years in Tampa actually makes him a better quarterback now that he's in Chicago. Can you explain that?
Well, it made Steve Young into a Hall of Famer, Zach, because if you go back and you take Steve Young away from BYU, when he played in the Lavelle Edwards system and they threw the ball every play and he's had these stats that were out of sight. And then he came, first of all, into the USFL with the LA Express. And since I was playing there, I had a chance to play against his team a couple times. And Steve Young was an inaccurate quarterback who really needed time to develop, and or else he was not going to have much of a professional career. And then when I went to the Bears, he went to Tampa Bay, and his career suffered even more down there. And then all of a sudden you think, this guy is never going to be a player in the NFL because he's just not that good. Then he went to San Francisco with Bill Walsh, sat behind Joe Montana for a few years, and then started developing a way about him that he became the Hall of Fame quarterback he went on to be. So I'm a big, huge fan of these quarterbacks that they have the challenge of sitting to help you develop your career further. You know, you think in, was it 2015 that Mike Glennon didn't even play in a game? I know it's hard for people to understand, but it takes a lot of discipline to do that. Because, you know, you're just going out there and going through the paces of practice every single day, but not getting the opportunity to do it in a game.
You know, Tom, the other thing that stood out, I asked him, where does the confidence come from? Because it is unmistakable. Anytime you hear Mike Glennon talking, ever since he became a Bear, there's a sense of confidence that you hear in his voice. It's not an arrogance. It's a confidence that he believes he can do the job. And I asked him where it came from and, you know, what are his strengths as a quarterback, despite the limited time that he's seen under center in real games in the NFL. And right off the bat, he said the kinds of things you want to hear, Tom, his ability to process information and what the defense is doing immediately, and then getting rid of the ball and getting it in the hands of the playmakers as quickly as possible so you don't have that indecision. And, you know, we've seen him do some things in the NFL. You know, he did beat Pittsburgh on the road in probably his biggest game as a professional quarterback. But from watching the tape and studying this guy, even during the time when the Bears were playing the Buccaneers and you knew that he might enter the game as a backup, where do you think he has to work to get better as an NFL quarterback?
Well, you know, I keep repeating the phrase. I think it's to master the terminology of the Chicago Bears offense, so now you know where every single player is going to be on every single play against every subtle defensive change. And going back to the Mike Glennon interview, I'm glad to hear him say that he feels that he almost didn't want to use the word master, but for lack of a better word, did. You know, master the Tampa 2 defense when you're playing against it every day in practice. And now having the opportunity to play against a Vic Fangio system that's completely different than anything he's ever faced on a daily practice field. So I think that's going to help him tremendously, as seeing a different style of defense within the front seven, front eight players. But I think once he understands where every one of his weapons are going to be at the exact time, no matter what the defense is, you know, that's when Mike Glennon is going to be at his best. So I do like the fact that he's a super intelligent guy, is able to say the information with understanding. And believe me, that helps everybody in the huddle, because there's times that he's going to make subtle changes to the pass protection responsibilities and directions that, you know, he knows it just because he knows everything about the offense.
312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access, and the phone lines are open. Out to the phones we go. Orlando, Florida. Ed, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. Longtime Bear fan. We always talk about protection, and every time I read a blog or a newspaper, they're worried, a little bit of worried about the depth of the tackle position. There's a gentleman they signed a free agent, Tom Compton, from the Atlanta Falcons. And prior to the Falcons, he played significant snaps and started a number of games with the Skins. He's pretty tight to Shanahan. I coached Tom and recruited Tom, and I just think that we're missing the boat. Well, people are going to find out that this guy's going to help this team. I've seen him line up in NFL games at guard, tackle, and tight end, and play the entire fourth quarter of the Super Bowl for the Falcons because of an injury. He'll be a really good asset to the Bears. I just want the Chicago people to know about him.
Yeah, you know, Ed, I'm glad you brought him up, because we had him on the show last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, and we talked a lot about his versatility, about his ability to play right and left tackle. I asked him if he's ever played guard before, and he mentioned that he has. And, you know, I think, again, like every position on the football team, people at training camp want to see competition at certain positions. And I think probably at the offensive tackle position is where, offensive line-wise, that's where you want to see the most of the competition, to make sure that Bobby Massey, Charles Leno Jr., now Tom Compton, are all in their best.
And the Bears are dealing with some injuries on their offensive line, so there are a lot of new players getting opportunities here to impress the coaching staff. What does that mean during this time of the year before the pads come on? We'll ask Tom next. Join us, 312-644-6767. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Sabin. Jim Miller will be back next week once his voice comes back. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content direct to your device. And, you know, earlier today, on the Chicago Bears Twitter account, they just had a little salsa dancer, a whole bunch of emojis of salsa dancers. And you knew right then and there that, yeah, the reports were true, that the Bears were going to add the most famous salsa dancer in NFL history, Victor Cruz. It's official, agreeing to a one-year deal to join the Bears after spending his career with the Giants. He's apparently healthy now. He was healthy last year, enough to play 15 games after dealing with a whole bunch of leg injuries in the previous two seasons. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Sabin. You can join us at 312-644-6767. Tom, I've got a lot of questions about the offensive line, but I want to get out to the phones first. Let's go out to Blue Island. Cheske, you are on Bears All Access. Good evening.
Good evening. Hello, fellas. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. It's a pleasure. I love the show. Listen to you guys all the time and dying to call in. I'm calling about the tight end situation. You know, I love what they did. I know nobody, you know, saying, you know, good things about this draft with Shaheen, but there's also this other guy they got similar to his play, last name House. an undrafted free agent, also played basketball. You know, and with Miller, still coming off his injury, you know, he's 35. You know, I think they needed to do something. It was an area of need. So I just want to hang up and listen to you guys on your comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Right. And, you know, he's right. I think the tight end position could be in a position of incredible improvement and transition all at the same time. Just in the early opportunity to see what Adam Shaheen could possibly contribute at this level, no matter what college level he played for. I mean, he's got serious big play potential. I still love the versatility of Zach Miller. Deion Sims, right?
The former Dolphin agent.
Yes. Where you can use him up and down the line of scrimmage, not necessarily right next to the offensive tackle, in his mismatch ability on the offense from the tight end position. Daniel Brown is a guy that you still got to pay attention to see how he matures through an off season. But I think the tight end position, it could be one of the earliest positions of improvement that that you've seen with it. You know, about 5 days of opportunity to see the Bears.
And the guy that Cheskay was talking about is Franco House, who was a basketball player at Ball State. From a football standpoint, and you've watched a whole bunch of these basketball players come over to the NFL and have success at the tight end position. Why? What does the skill on the basketball floor help out with at that position in football?
You know, uniquely enough, Zach, we just had a chance to ask Adam Shaheen the same question. I asked him, what are you going to bring from the basketball court that helps you on the football field? And he talked about footwork in close quarters, hand-eye coordination of catching quick passes underneath the basket with only an instant's notice, the way to box players out when you're going up for a football. I think, you know, if you have the size and you're willing to invest a little bit of time in the weight room and you understand what it's like working in outdoor conditions all the time, I think some of those big basketball players have a real opportunity to succeed. And, you know, it's going to be the little deciding factors that is either going to increase your chances or decrease them in the long run.
Yeah, because if you notice, and the Bears had this issue last year, they didn't have difficulty moving the ball from 120 to the other 20. They had issues once they got in the red zone, and that's where I think working in those small quarters where the quarterback doesn't have a lot of space to throw, where having that basketball, that ability to box out and create that big target for the quarterback, it does matter.
Right. That's the thing about it is when you do look at New England and you look at their success inside the red zone, you don't have matchups for guys like Gronk and stuff. So if you can get Adam Shaheen to be that type of character receiver where you don't have the right matchup for him, you know, he is going to give you opportunities to be, you know, a target. But because you have to have concerns about covering him, he's going to open up opportunities for other guys inside that area also.
Back to the phones we go at 312-644-6767. Ray is driving in California, and Ray, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Larry.
Ray, we'd love to have you on, but the cell is kind of going in and out there, so feel free to call us back on an open line when you get a better signal.
I want to hear what Ray has to say, Zach.
Yeah, so do I. Well, we'll give him a chance to call back here. And while he does that, I did want to ask you a few questions about the offensive line, because Kyle Long has tweeted this week that, you know, he's still in the rehab process and he hasn't been out on the field practicing. And John Fox talked the other day about how Josh Sitton isn't ready to get out there on the field. So, you know, Cody White here is the only guy in terms of the starters that was out there on the interior of the line. And I bring that up because Ryan Pace talked at the scouting combine that he felt the infrastructure in place to have success, especially for a quarterback on the Bears, was because of the interior of the Bears' offensive line. When an lineman misses time during this portion of the offseason, is it a big deal?
No, it's not. And not if you're a guy that, if you have a chance to sit in the classroom, again, listen to your assignments, understand the terminology, your responsibilities that go along with it, and you're in an opportunity in terms of Kyle is to continue to rehab, you know, make sure that you're staying on that course, because that's going to really determine the success and failure of the interior of the Bears season, is making sure Kyle's on the field for 16 games. And with a guy like Josh Sitton, you have so much experience that if there's a guy that you want to be able to feed a little bit more opportunity, some more reps in these types of evaluation periods, shoot, if I'm that guy, I'm loving the opportunity to get in that stance. But in terms of Josh Sitton not being there, it's not a big deal.
All right, we have a whole bunch of callers who want to join us. We will get to your phone calls next at 312-644-6767. Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer with you. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. I know a lot of you have questions about the Bears, so out to the phones we go. Chris in Midway, you are on Bears All Access. Good evening.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, you know, for all Bear fans, this is the fastest hour of radio.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
It is just, this flies by. My question is, I get a weird sense that we keep picking up old Giant players. Like, we have three on our roster this year. Last year we had one. Is it that they're trying to just get names of players that were good? Or is there a trend that the Giants are dropping them and we keep picking them up?
No, I don't think that's the case at all. I just think it's position of need. And if that person comes in here and fits a competitive opportunity to earn a roster spot, I think that's the way every player is evaluated. I don't think there's any team that, maybe New England has that reputation that people would pick up some of those players. But, no, I just think it's the fact that they're trying to get the most competitive roster out there by the first day of training camp.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that, Victor Cruz last played for the Giants, but Prince Amukamara last played for Jacksonville before hitting the free agent market and becoming a member of the Bears. And, we haven't talked a lot about that, the new secondary that the Bears are forming, Tom, because there are a whole bunch of guys who've had experience with other teams. Marcus Cooper comes in after having a very nice season for the Arizona Cardinals. Quinton Demps comes in from the Texans, where he had six picks last year. And, we talked about it earlier on Inside the Bears, taking leadership in the secondary. Vic Fangio has talked about how he'd like that guy to be the commander of the secondary. And then Amukamara is a former first-round pick. And they're all being mentored by one of the best secondary coaches in football, in Ed Donato. You could see a big improvement in the Bears secondary compared to what we saw a year ago.
Oh, yeah. I just think the competitiveness of all the positions, that will increase your chance of being better on game day, because I don't think if you go out there and you write a starting lineup of the defensive players in your imagination across Bear fandom, is everybody's going to get the exact same lineup correct because of the competition there's going to be back there for, once the regular season gets underway in terms of training camp and everything. So, Zach, we talk a lot about the receiver position, and I think it's going to be competitive. And Victor Cruz just added the competitiveness of it as he came in and signed today. But I think with the free agent moves they made in the offseason, I think the defensive back field is going to be such a competitive situation in training camp. I think in a long time to come, it's going to be one of the funner battles to sit out there and watch.
312-644-6767. By the way, Bears report to Bourbonnais July 26th, so it's just around the corner. Out to the phones we go. Nick in Elgin. Nick, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Mick.
Hey, I just had a quick question. What are your thoughts on the comments or the lack thereof of John Fox regarding Kevin White participating in OTAs?
I don't really get caught up in it right now because, I hate referring to my generation because in my generation, nobody was required to report for anything during the course of the off season until you had the mandatory mini camp, and then you came in here. You proved yourself worthy of an opportunity to go to training camp, and that's where it went from there. It doesn't concern me because, once you get into full pads and you get into training camp, that's when I need the guys out there that are going to compete for the, 50 plus roster spots are going at an everyday basis. I hate to leave you with that answer because there's probably not a lot of people that are, you know, are satisfied. But again, I'm not really worried about him at this point in the season.
And the reality is, just based on the rules, the Bears are not required to tell you anything in regards to an injury status until week one of the regular season, when that first injury report is due on Wednesday.
You know, and the thing about it today, in today's NFL culture, there's so much preventative medicine, preventative forethinking and all that kind of stuff. You never know what is a reason behind someone not practicing, or, you know, it's just, that's just part of the NFL landscape with every team this year. I mean, nowadays.
Yeah, no question about it. I do think that one of the interesting comments that we heard this week, and this was Mike Lennon at the podium, he talked about how Kevin White was a big playmaker when he was out on the field on Monday. And that's nice to hear that, you know, the quarterback has, because, again, and you talked about it, Tom, there's a whole collection of different types of receivers that are being added to the mix. And the only one that you're kind of sure of, just based on what they were able to do last year, is Cameron Meredith, who really grew as a player when he got his opportunity and made plays last season. And he's a guy who came in, not much was expected of him, and, you know, he made a name for himself. And, you know, we talked about Franco House, the tight end, who's the converted basketball player, now football player out of Ball State. How challenging is it for some of these guys who go undrafted and get an opportunity to work out with an NFL team, to go through the whole process where you are on the roster for week one?
Well, you know, it's the great sense of accomplishment by the player. You know, having been around free agents and played with them throughout my career, they have a certain sense of accomplishment that it's kind of overwhelming, because if you were drafted high on the ladder, you know, there's a certain expectation of you to be out there. But these guys that have paid their dues throughout their college career, paid their dues in summer preparation, spring preparation, getting ready for the regular season to begin, and then go out there and be competitive every single day. It is. I mean, it's a great sense of accomplishment for them, and that's why you know, those types of personalities can really help strengthen a team. And I think if we're talking about a guy like Cameron Meredith, I think the pressure is on him just as much or more this year than it was last year, because now we have Pro Bowl expectations for Cameron Meredith, not just the guy that's lingering on the 47th man on the roster.
We got our quarterback back next week in Jim Miller. Tom, thank you so much. Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. Thank you for listening to our radio program, Bears All Access. We'll be back next Thursday on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.